Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Plant worship on the outside of the orchard of your life, and you will still be able to bear fruit, even in the midst of a storm. Worship. So important. Plant worship in your life. You're like, man, I don't understand. I'm so depressed all the time. And I'm just getting the garbage beat out of me by life. I feel like the enemy's having a heyday in my marriage. Dude, call a timeout and worship.
As Christians, when we're in the midst of difficult times, one of the last things we remember to do is to simply worship God. We focus on fixing the problems instead of showing God our reverence through worship. In today's message, Pastor Michael wants you to know that when the storms of life are hitting you hard, you'll never find more peace in your life than when you stop and worship. Strip away the anxiety and stress from your life by simply quieting your soul and connecting to Him through worship. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Genesis chapter 21 as he continues his message, "The Lion Sleeps Tonight."
I always use the example, if I'm up here preaching to you and I got a huge piece of spinach right here between my teeth, and I'm like, it's not easy, but it's necessary. And everybody's like, I can't even listen to you, dude. Could you get the spinach out of your teeth, right? I need somebody to speak love to me and tell me even when it's hard. I was a youth pastor in Colorado Springs many, many years ago, 1993. And I was on staff. There was two other pastors, a senior pastor and an associate, and then me. And Kelly and I moved there. We had two little baby boys at the time. And every week I'd go into this meeting with the senior pastor, and he would always say the exact same thing every single time. He would talk about accountability and transparency. And he would always say, man, if you guys see something, man, we got to speak into each other's lives. We need that, you know? And he would tell the story of the emperor with no clothes. You guys remember that story? Where everybody's bringing nice clothes to the king, and this one guy shows up with nothing because he forgot or whatever. And so the king's like, you got nothing. He goes, no, you can't see it. Only really powerful people can see these clothes. They're very nice, you know? And he lies to the king. And then so the king's, well, yeah, I want those clothes if those are the best. It's like, oh, these are the best. So then the king's busting down Main Street butt naked. And everybody's like clapping like, oh, isn't the king so, look at his nice robe. Because nobody wants to admit they can't see it until a little kid goes, hey, the king's naked. And then he's all ticked off. It's a great story, right? The emperor with no clothes. Well, my pastor would always tell, he's like, I don't want to be the emperor with no clothes, man. Someone's got to tell me. And so, you know, we always heard that, always heard that. Well, this particular pastor had two little boys, and one of them was a punk. I mean, this kid was like, Satan just bleh, spawned him. And I know, because I was in the children's ministry, but this kid was bad. The whole church one time went out to dinner afterwards. We were all at this big restaurant, and the kid threw a fit, and the dad and mom, the pastor, didn't do anything. So we had some people that were leaving. They were literally not just one family, but multiple families were leaving the church, and they didn't want to say nothing, but they were saying something to me. And so I didn't want to say nothing. I was scared. And so I go to the meeting, and he's like, I don't want to be the emperor with no clothes. You know, all these people are leaving the church. What's going on? And finally, I was like, well, you know, Pastor, I actually had a couple of people tell me that, you know, when your son, remember when we were at the restaurant, but they've been noticing this, and the Bible says that how could a man manage the church if he can't manage his own home? And so some people are like, they're leaving the church because of that. And I said it really fast. I tried to say it in love, and I was fired a week and a half later. Yes. Church, man. People say, well, I was just wounded in the church. I'm like, dude, get in line. Let me tell you something, gang. Sometimes it's not easy, to be honest, but it is the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do, man. Doing it in love, always doing it in love. Amen? But we got to be people. This is a sign of maturity here that I see Abraham showing big time. For him just to go to complain and say, I got this issue with your guys, whatever. Let's look what happens. Verse 26. Abimelech replied, I don't know who did this thing. You didn't report anything to me, so I hadn't heard about it until today. You see what he's doing? Well, I don't know what you're talking about. This is news to me. Now, if I'm Abraham, I'm not, okay, obviously. But I'm thinking to myself, you're the king. You're the head honcho. You should know what's going down with your guys. Okay? What do you mean you've never heard about this until today? I mean, that's what I would have gone to, okay? Not Abraham. Just quiet, this is the third aspect I just wrote down, understanding. A mature follower of God is humble and he's honest, but he's also understanding. He'll listen. There's no accusations thrown back at Abimelech or anything like that. It's just, the Bible has a lot to say about this. I'll give you a few. James chapter 1 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Isn't that a great verse? Like, I should tattoo that one on my body. I don't believe in tattoos, but we should do that. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A person's insight gives him patience." Listen to this next line. "And his virtue is to overlook an offense." A virtue, something accredited to him as a really good thing, is that he overlooks offenses. Don't you hate being around people that are easily offended? And you're like, I got to walk around eggshells around Aunt Margaret because, you know, you don't want to talk about whatever. Politics around her because she's going to go off on you. Or anybody have somebody like an Aunt Margaret like that? All right? It's not fun. The Bible says, be not easily offended. We don't want to be those people who's like, don't talk to that guy, man. He just gets, you know, super upset about everything, right? Understanding, it's part of maturity. Sometimes we hear things we don't agree with. Sometimes people make us very upset. We have to learn to listen and be slow to speak and slow to anger, because that's my tendency, right? Get angry. And I'm quick to speak because I got something to say right now. But God, I'm praying, Lord, help me be more understanding and to shut my mouth in the name of Jesus. Anybody pray that's a good prayer? Shut my mouth in the name of Jesus. That's a good one. You guys are like, I wish you'd pray that before you preached. All right. Dude, I was standing at McDonald's one time, and this poor kid is working. You guys have all had this happen, but the lady in front of me was being a Karen. And you know what I mean. But if you're from Texas, just kidding. This lady is going off on this young man, just yelling at him. And I get it, he was messing up. And she said something like, you know, how long have you been working here? And he goes, oh, just it's my second day, ma'am. And she goes, well, it's pretty obvious because you're horrible at your job. I want the manager. So, and this kid is like, okay. And so he gets the manager, and the manager's like, okay, let me take care of you. And he didn't charge her or whatever. So I'm next in line. So I get up in line. And this kid, you can just tell, man, he's just like this. So I said, hey, man, if it makes you feel any better, that lady's going to burn in hell. And it did. It made him feel better. No, I didn't really say that. I tried to encourage him. I was like, dude, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. May I be a man who is slow to speak. Amen. Quick to listen, being more understanding. It's a huge sign of maturity. Let me keep going here. Verse 27. Abraham took flocks and herds, and he gave them to the king, Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. The fourth thing I see here is Abraham is using wisdom. He's using wisdom. This is a very smart move on Abraham's part to be making a covenant with the king. Okay, to go into this kind of a contract with him. He wants to be sure that the stuff that's been going down with his army around the well and stuff like that, it never happens again. So Abraham here is using that logic, that what is wisdom? Wisdom is more than just having knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. It's what I would say what Jesus would do with knowledge. Remember the little bracelets? What would Jesus do? To me, people used to wear those, right? Or they put them on their shirt. What would Jesus do to remind them? In any and every situation in my life, what am I going to do? Well, I want to think about what would Jesus do? To me, that's wisdom. Wisdom is doing what Jesus would do in every situation. I don't care if it's a Christian situation or if it's a business situation or whatever. Gang, let me tell you something. As followers of God, we don't need to be people that are flying by the seat of our pants. We need to be people who are constantly seeking wisdom from the Lord. I need his spirit to guide and direct me every day with conversations with my wife, conversations with you guys, In anything and everything that I'm doing, I need God's wisdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. I could sit here the rest of the day and just read to you scriptures about wisdom. Let me just say this. I found two things about wisdom. Number one is this. You have to seek wisdom. And number two, I found through all these scriptures, God is the giver of wisdom. So let me just tell you about wisdom. You need it. God has it. I need it. And God's the only one that has it. So what does that mean? I wake up every morning and say, God, today I need to think with something more than this little brain. Please give me your wisdom. Make smart moves, God, that you might be glorified in my life today. There's one scripture that I know you know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Amen? Like, this is such a good verse, you guys. Trust in God with all. Like, listen, I have a lot of understanding. I can read books and I can go to seminars and I can learn and get knowledge. I can get a lot of that. But I don't want to be a man who leans on my understanding or even the knowledge that I've gotten from books and podcasts and stuff. All of everything that I need to be leaning on is what God has said. I trust in the Lord. With all my heart. It's not like this. I trust in the Lord with 32% of my heart. It's 100%. All of my trust is in God. And people may say, well, that doesn't really make sense today in our world. You know, we're looking at, I know what culture says. I don't lean on the understanding of culture. I lean on the understanding of God. You with me? We must be those that seek wisdom. God wants to talk to us. God wants to lead us. And God wants to impart wisdom to you and me today. So may we be those that seek it. All right, let's finish up here. Verse 28. Abraham separated 7 ewe lambs from the flock, and Abimelech said to Abraham, why have you separated these 7 ewe lambs? That's weird. He replied, well, you are to accept the 7 ewe lambs from me so that this act will serve as my witness that I dug this well. Therefore, that place was called Beersheba because it was there that the two of them swore an oath. After they had made a covenant at Beersheba, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, left and they returned to the land of the Philistines. All right. Last thing, I'm just going to talk this one quickly. I see him, Abraham here, showing generosity. Another huge aspect of those who are maturing in God are we are not greedy. We give. Here he is generously giving. Even the king is like, why are you doing that? I don't understand. No, I'm giving this here. I want it to be a sign. I'm just being generous. Take it. These lambs are awesome. They would have been the best, and they're going to produce more lambs, and you're going to be blessed by these 7. 7 in the Bible is the number of completion and perfection. I'm giving you that. I want you to be blessed by this. He's being generous. Gang, as followers of Jesus Christ, if we're going to be God followers and followers of Jesus, we look into, why are Christians generous? Because we look into the eyes of the one hanging on the cross for us, who gave everything for us, right? How can I hold anything back? And it's not just that Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave a lot of things. Jesus was sort of known for his generosity. Obviously, Jesus gave healings, right? He'd go to different places and heal the dude by the pool of Siloam that one time, or at the Gate Beautiful with blind Bartimaeus. He's crying out, and Jesus stopped and healed him. And Jesus was always healing the lady in Nain where her son was dead in the coffin. They were doing the funeral, and Jesus reached in and touched, and the guy raises back to life. Or Lazarus. I mean, Jesus was always giving healings. But not just healings. Jesus was giving forgiveness all the time. My favorite, that story I talk about all the time in John 8, where the woman was caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus forgives her. Or the guy that was lowered down through the roof, remember? Jesus not only healed him, but he said, your sins are forgiven. Or the little midget guy that climbed up the tree, Zacchaeus. You're forgiven. I mean, Jesus was constantly giving forgiveness. Teachings. We see these amazing teachings and wisdom that he was just giving away. The Bible even says a few times, he was exhausted. He was done. Like his disciples are, you need to take a nap, bro. But Jesus would see the crowds and he'd have compassion on them. So he would give them these teachings. Always giving. Giving food, right? Well, the people are hungry. Let's feed them. We got one kid's lunch, Lord. I know. Feed them with that. Or wine, right? changing water. Praise God. Jesus gave wine, not boxed wine. Said that for my wife. All right. Jesus was giving, dude. He was so generous. He even admonished all of us to be generous. He would say weird things like, you know, if you go to prison and visit people, it's just like you're visiting me. Or if you give somebody a cup of cold water in my name, it's like you gave that water to me. Jesus's generosity was who he is. If we are followers of Jesus, gang, we will be generous. By the way, let me just tell you, these are good little tests, all these little things that I'm talking about, humility, honesty, understanding, wisdom, generosity. When I look in the mirror, God, do I look like this? Are these things that are me? Because if they're not, I'm still sucking on the bottle of milk. I need to grow and mature in you. One last thing, let's finish this up. Verse 33, Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord. That phraseology there he called on the name of the Lord, we would say that something like this. He worshiped there, okay? So he plants this tamarisk tree, he calls on the name of the Lord, comma, the everlasting God, and Abraham lived as an alien in the land of the Philistines for many, many days. Couple things I just want to point out here in this, and I think that are important. First of all, Abraham plants a tamarisk tree. I don't know if you don't know what a tamarisk tree, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what that is. I believe that what he's doing here is he is finding a creative, spontaneous, innovative way to worship God in this place. God has done this thing. The king has seen God, you in me. And so now I'm going to find this creative, innovative, spontaneous way to worship you. And he plants a tree. Now we read that and we think it's weird because we think worship is singing a few songs, clapping our hands, and that's what worship is. Worship, gang, it happens in all of your life. Matter of fact, let me say this. Please hear this. You don't hear anything else. Hear this. Everything you do is an act of worship. Everything. The way you work, the way you treat your kids, the way you treat your neighbor, the way you treat the little guy in McDonald's. Everything is an act of worship, and it shows who you worship and what you worship. Here, Abraham stops in the middle of all this, and we're told this weird detail that nobody gives a rip about. He plants a tamarisk tree. Who cares? I'm telling you, what he's doing here is he is doing something as an act of worship to God to remember this. Creative worship, we see it throughout the Bible. Remember the lady who had the alabaster jar of perfume that she had saved her whole life? And she comes in and she breaks it, something that was supposed to be done on her wedding night. She breaks it and anoints Jesus' feet. And the people around are ticked off. They're like, oh, Jesus, stop her. First of all, do you know what kind of lady this is? And secondly, she could have sold that and given it to the poor. Like, you're always talking about how you care about the poor, Jesus. Why didn't she do that? Why don't you get on her now? And Jesus is like, shut your mouth. In the name of me, shut your mouth. That's what he said in the NIV. And then he said this, the thing that she has done here today is so awesome and so beautiful. This act of worship will be talked about wherever the message of the kingdom is talked about. From this day on, we will be talking about this, what this woman did. Don't you dare yell at her. Creative, spontaneous worship that doesn't look like what everybody might expect. Dude, driving in your car, sometimes I gotta shut off the noise and just drive and it's one of the reasons I love riding a motorcycle because you get the wind in your face, although now my new motorcycle has an awesome sound machine. It's really cool. But I got to shut that thing off sometimes and say, God, I just need to talk to you. You ever wake up in the morning and look at where we live? Good night. Like this weekend will not be as pretty as this weekend. Next weekend won't be as pretty as this weekend around here. Orange, yellow, green. We're seeing it all. There's super cool cars that Jesus made. This weekend's awesome. You ever just stop and go, God, thank you, man. This everything is an act of worship. God, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the snow. Thank you for friends. Thank you for a church. Thank you, God. I worship you today for all that you do and all that you've done. Worship, worship. Anytime you can find a creative way to worship God. I've told you before, but I knew these old ladies at our last church and they would quilt blankets. And I thought it was such a joke. What a waste of time. These four ladies would sit there and quilt blankets and just talk to each other until Christmas Eve when they gave me 73 blankets to go and hand out at the nursing home. And I'm handing these people these blankets, and they're bawling. And they were nice, like $500 probably worth each one. And I'm handing them these blankets. And I thought to myself, I will never think worse about those ladies. That was their act of worship to a risen Savior. And that's what they could do. What can you do? What can I do to say, God, creative worship? By the way, let me tell you something about the tamarisk tree that as I was studying it, I just thought was so cool. They're often planted in the desert, in sandy regions, because their roots can go very, very deep. And the tamarisk tree, it's very interesting. Farmers, to this day, they plant them in that region along the edges of their orchards. You know why? Because when the sandstorms come in, and they come in hardcore, they will destroy a crop. They'll destroy the orchard of fruit. And so these guys will plant these tamarisk trees, and they are basically a wind block. Isn't that cool? I was reading about that because to me that speaks of us. When you and I, let me tell you something, you will have the sandstorms of life come beating against you. The enemy of your soul will come up against you. And he wants to destroy. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that he seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He will always come in like a flood. How do we stop that? Here's my suggestion. Plant worship on the outside of the orchard of your life, and you will still be able to bear fruit, even in the midst of a storm. Worship. So important. Plant worship in your life. You're like, man, I don't understand. I'm so depressed all the time, and I'm just getting the garbage beat out of me by life. I feel like the enemy's having a heyday in my marriage. Dude, call a timeout and worship. Listen to Christian music. I don't know what you got to do. I have a guitar. I don't barely know how to play it. And I'll just start pounding it in my office. And I'll make up stuff sometimes. Jesus, I love you. You gave me my shoe. Just make it up. I don't care. I think God's up there going, yes, I love this. You with me? You know, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. You ever heard that one? What does that mean? When I praise, he comes and shows up. We need sandstorm stopping worship in our life. And by the way, last thing I'm going to say is this. There's something else that happens when we become worshipers, and that is this: fresh revelation. I told you that he called on the Lord, the everlasting God. That word is Jehovah Olam, or Jehovah Olam in Hebrew. And it means the everlasting God. We see that idea and that concept again and again and again throughout the Bible, but this is the very first time it's mentioned. We read later, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he who was and is to come. We see stuff like that, this idea of everlasting God. This is the first time. When does he get this revelation, this first time calling out the name of the everlasting God? It's when he plants the tree of worship. And that is something, again, that can have fresh revelation often follows true worship. People say, I feel like I haven't heard from God recently. I don't know what's going on. I always say, call a timeout and worship. Just get alone and just sing about your shoe. I don't care. Sing to the master. Tell him how awesome he is to your life, and you will see fresh revelation comes from that. Does that make sense? So may we be people, gang, that are growing and maturing in our walk with God. How? All these things. We show humility. We're honest when we need to be, even when it's hard, right? We show understanding. You know, we're slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. Amen. And then we got wisdom. We're constantly saying, God, I need your wisdom today. What would you do in this situation? Generous, giving, and then lastly, worship.
Our time with you today on Burning Hearts is coming to a close, but that doesn't mean you have to stop studying the Word. Take some time today to review the passage from the book of Genesis or turn to another book in the Bible. There's so much to learn from Scripture, and we're glad you've chosen to study it with us. If you missed any part of today's teaching or want to explore more of Pastor Michael's message, head on over to our website, thealpinechapel.com. If you're in the Telluride area and would like to come visit us this weekend, we'd love to have you do so. The Alpine Chapel meets every Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. to worship, learn from the Bible, and just enjoy being together as a family of faith. If you're curious about any unknowns before you come, look under the menu at thealpinechapel.com and find I'm New Here FAQs. There's some helpful information there for you. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. An easy way to get in touch with us for any questions or comments is by going to the contacts page. You can send us an email with anything you're wondering about, or if you just want to get in touch, be sure to let us know you've been listening to Burning Hearts. And you can also share with us what you've been learning from the teachings. You can also submit prayer requests that you feel comfortable sharing. Although our time with you today has come to an end, we're thankful that you've tuned in. And we look forward to the next edition, right here on Burning Hearts.